Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, July 25th, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. I hope you all had a great week. We have a lot to talk about today, a lot of really cool stuff. Can't wait to get into it. So let's go through the topics and then we'll jump right in. So in this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Game Changer Wrestling's Homecoming Part 1. Happened last night. A lot of big news coming out of that show, including new GCW champion Matt Cardona. We also have predictions for part 2, which will be taking place a couple hours from the time of this recording. So I'll give you my predictions for GCW Homecoming Part 2. We have results for JCW Jersey Championship Wrestling. They had a show called Dear Summer. It was free on YouTube, and you can still check it out right now. Awesome show. Got the results for that for you. As well as results for 205 Live, NXT UK, Ring of Honor, The Gathering Part 2. And then I've got spoilers for Impact as well as NXT. So I'm going to give you a bunch of spoilers at the end of the show, and I'll make sure to, you know, give you a heads up before I do all that, just in case you don't want spoilers for those shows. And just programming alert, we do not have any Being the Elite review this week, mainly because it was mostly just travel vlog type stuff. And then also the reason I'm going over the Gathering 2 results today is because there were some National Wrestling Alliance titles on the line. So rather than talking about NWA as a company this week, we're just going to go through the results of a show that had some of their championship belts on the line. But before we get into all that, as always, I have my recommended show for you to watch on independentwrestling.tv. And the show that I've chosen this week is St. Louis Anarchy Circus Maximus 2021. So once again, the company is called St. Louis Anarchy or STL Anarchy, and the show was Circus Maximus 2021. The show initially aired for free on Twitch, but they had a lot of camera issues. Now, that said, I really applaud them for at least attempting to do their live show on Twitch. Their show live on Twitch, I should say. Because, for instance, MLW, they actually aired Battle Riot 3 last night on YouTube, but I've already given the results for that, like 2 weeks ago. So if you want the results for MLW, just go back a couple weeks on the Weekender podcast here at FightfulSelect.com. And yeah, that's where you'll find, all the results for MLW just a couple weeks back, right here on the Weekender. So that all being said, Circus Maximus, they tried to do that show live on Twitch, so I do applaud them for that, right? But they didn't, since it was their first time trying to do a live show on Twitch, they didn't have all the, kinks worked out of the broadcasting side, right? So it's just, they used one camera, and the camera was just kind of low resolution, and the connection kept kind of going in and out and dropping. So not a great live experience on Twitch, but luckily for us, they shot the show with multiple cameras and then uploaded the good footage on independentwrestling.tv. So you can still watch the show in full. So once again, it was a bummer that when the show happened live, it was pretty much unwatchable, if I'm being honest. But because they've re-uploaded it right here on independentwrestling.tv, you can watch the show. And if you want to check it out, use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all as one word with no space. Throw that in the promo code spot on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. That's just two ways to get to the same spot. And use code FIGHTTALK. It helps me out a lot when you do that. But that all being said, the matches to expect for St. Louis Anarchy's Circus Maximus 2021 are as follows. We had Derek Neal versus Warhorse. Deacon Cash versus Mikey versus Kenny Alfonso versus Victor Analog. We had Aaron Williams versus Bastard Cassidy. Evan Jezelico and Billy Starks taking on Christian Rose and Angelus Lane. Jake Durden taking on Thomas Shire. We had Moonshine Mantell versus Big Beef. Everett Connors versus Davey Richards. The 0-1 USA World Tag Team Championships on the line. The Besties in the World, the team of Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega, taking on the Premier, the championship team of Camaro Jackson and Campbell Myers, who had SK Bishop in their corner. In the main event of the show, we had the Gateway Heritage Championship on the line, champion Jeremy Wyatt taking on Gary J. There's a ton of great talent on this show. Normally, I'd really go, kind of person by person and highlight talent from these. I don't ever give spoilers for these because I want you to go watch the show on IWTV, but because we have so much to get to today, I'm not going to deep dive as much as I normally would, but just some stuff to highlight. Derek Neal and Warhorse in the opener, those are two guys that are TV ready. We saw Warhorse get a shot in AEW against Cody, and he was the longtime reigning IWTV champion for probably close to like 2 years or so. Derek Neal is a multi-time champion, I believe on his third title reign right now with New South Championship Wrestling out of the Alabama area. And New South's a great company. Cabana Man Dan and Derek Neal are two guys that I think the world of that work for New South. And also shout out to Jumpin' John Mosley, my partner in crime in my on my MMA show that I do every week on the Fight Talk podcast. John Mosley is the one of the commentators for New South Wrestling. But yeah, Derek Neal and Warhorse, two guys that I think could be an asset to any company right now on a mainstream level. I mean, so much good talent on this. Big Beef, I've been talking about him a lot. He's been really doing a lot of work in various areas. I know him mainly from like the Southeast, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him live in Chattanooga in the CNA City Invitational Tournament next month. Besties in the World, one of the best tag teams, in my opinion, in the world, ironically enough. I first saw them in Glory Pro Wrestling years ago in the St. Louis area, and both guys are super talented. I love their entrance. For those of you who remember Savage Garden back in the day, they come out to that Stand With You on a Mountain, Bathe With You in the Sea song, and they do like a whole kind of routine with it that the crowd does with them. It's great visual. It's really fun to do live. And they're just a great in-ring tag team. Jeremy Wyatt in the main event, him and Gary J. I mean, Jeremy Wyatt, super solid. A guy that I'm actually kind of surprised that we haven't seen on a mainstream level, because he's very good as a character, but he's also really, really technically sound in the ring. I've been watching him for what seems like quite a while now. I mean, definitely for at least a handful of years on the indies. And a guy that I, for whatever reason, we just haven't really seen much of, but I think he'd be a great guy to get a shot on like AEW Dark. Cause I think the fans would recognize his talent pretty quickly. And I think he could really be an asset anywhere. Gary J is a dude who I have seen in bars, in high school gyms, and really any kind of scenario you can imagine for pro wrestling. I've seen Gary J a lot of the time live at these shows. That guy is just a hard hitting, just ass-kicking machine, really. I mean, he's tough as hell. Him and Warhorse will always be linked, in my opinion, as far as, like, I mean, I know it's a tall comparison, but Warhorse and Gary J, for me, is very similar to, like, Kevin Steen and El Generico, or, like, CM Punk and Chris Hero, or something like that. It was a feud that happened for, like, a really long time that lasted for years, and both guys will always, in one way, shape, or form, always be linked to one another in the minds of the wrestling fans, in my opinion. And Gary J and Warhorse, I've just seen those guys just do just insane stuff over the years. Back when Warhorse wasn't even, he was probably mainly known as Jake Parnell back at the time that I'm thinking of. But there was an infamous moment where Gary J busted open Warhorse's mouth, like literally like sliced the whole thing like apart. It was really disgusting. On like a turnbuckle hook. But those guys, I mean, nothing but respect for Gary J and Warhorse, two guys that I've been watching for years, and both guys that I think are really, really damn good at what they do. And of course, I've got to bring up, you know, the main draw for me for this show, which is Everett Connors versus Davey Richards. It's awesome to see Davey Richards back in the ring. It was awesome to see him back in MLW. It's awesome to see him on the indies. And I'd love to see him pop up more places, because outside of just looking a little bit older physically, he can still do all the stuff he ever could in the ring. His intensity's there. He looks like he's healthy and rejuvenated. And, like, yeah, I'm a very big fan of Davey Richards. I always have been. I have been probably since, like, 2010 or something like that. Like, I remember, like, I'll never forget one of the first Ring of Honor pay-per-views I bought because it was available on the internet at the time. For people who might not know, I mean, you can go back, you know, decades if you want to, but, you know, when I first started watching wrestling in, like, the early 90s, it was all on VHS tape. And then years later, you get kind of towards the early 2000s, and people would still do VHS here and there, but then things really became more about DVD. But if you were a company like Ring of Honor, most of your distribution was, like, you'd do a live show, but unless you were there live, you couldn't watch it until weeks or months later when it came out on DVD to watch. And I remember when Ring of Honor started doing their iPay-per-views, that one of the first shows that I bought, if not maybe the actual first, I can't remember, but I know for sure one of the early ones that I bought and watched live on the internet, which was just like mind-blowing to me at the time, was Davey Richards versus Tyler Black, who of course is now known as Seth Rollins. And you know, I've been a real big fan of Davey ever since then, and you know, he took these years off recently, but he seems back and really just doing a great job already. He had an awesome match with Jordan Oliver a couple weeks ago that I'd highly recommend y'all seek out and watch. And then you got Everett Connors, who's one of my favorite guys, very similar to a guy like Warhorse. I've been watching Everett Connors since also from Glory Pro Wrestling in St. Louis was the first time I saw him. Most of these guys come from like the Michael Elgin training tree in, once again, like the St. Louis area. And Everett Connors, like, I remember, I might have been live to like his maybe first match, like no joke. Within his first probably five matches, I started to see him live. And the way that he's evolved and changed and grown up a little bit and really like getting comfortable with like this type of kind of gimmick and character he kind of is now. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm a big fan of Everett. I love how he's like, he clearly gets what he's doing, right? It's like, he does things where he's able to make fun of himself, but stays serious throughout it. And I'm very drawn to what he does. I think it's just genius. Like the clothes he wears. Like he came out one time for this match, like covered in teddy bears. And it's just like that. It was just so funny to me. It's like it's hard to explain. If you don't know Everett Connors or you haven't seen him wrestle, I highly recommend, you know, checking out his stuff, and he's popping up everywhere now. We're seeing more of him in GCW. I'll be talking about him with the JCW results here in a second. So, you know, huge shout out to Everett Connors. And it's one of those things where, like, I would recommend this entire show. Just a ton of talent here. I mean, Thomas Shire was on the show, and he's a guy who I still feel like is under the radar. Like, he's a great technical wrestler, a big dude, very just believable amateur wrestler type guy. So much good stuff on this show. A Bastard Cassidy, a young up-and-comer who, man, the sky's the limit for him. He's still like a year or so into his career only, and already making waves for doing what he's doing. I mean, check out this whole show, but if you can only watch one match, definitely go out of your way for Everett Connors versus Davey Richards. But once again, and also Derek Neal versus Warhorse was a damn solid match. A lot of these matches were great. So once again, check it out. IndependentWrestling.tv, St. Louis Anarchy, Circus Maximus 2021, use code FIGHTTALK. All right, moving on. We have GCW results. This is Homecoming Part 1. I'm going to give you the results, then I'm going to give you some thoughts. So, first match, we had Marco Stunt taking on Starboy Charlie. This was definitely a homecoming of sorts for Marco Stunt, who, you know, I knew mainly from Southern Underground Pro and SCI, in the Nashville and Chattanooga areas, and then he wound up blowing up big time in GCW. I believe it was the Lost in New York show, the Janela show that he, like, really broke out on in GCW. He did some stuff with KTB in the ring. He was, like, a fan. And then that obviously got him on the radar a lot more, and he wound up signing to AEW not long after that. And it's great to hear Marco's old music, the Pat Benatar, like, I have a very strong, you know, kind of connection as a fan to Marco, because I mentioned Southern Underground Pro, Sup Graps. That's my favorite indie company out of, you know, Nashville, Tennessee. And I really got to watch Marco grow as, like, a performer there. And he became the champion there and one of the most over guys. And they literally call him the guy in Sup. So it's great to see him. And Starboy Charlie, I can't say enough good things about. 18 years old, the sky's the limit for him. Had an awesome match here. I've seen some really great stuff with Starboy Charlie versus Chris Dickinson lately as well. I mean, him and Billy Starks. I mean, just all-around great stuff. Marco got the win with a it was a reversal out of a powerbomb. So basically, Starboy Charlie put Marco up in a powerbomb. Marco did the Frankensteiner, kind of like the old-school Rey Mysterio-type counter to the powerbomb, and got the pin off that for the 1-2-3. Great stuff. After that, Tony Deppen defeated Ninja Mac. This match was awesome. Tony Deppen, of course, one of the best, you know, wrestlers, you know, pound for pound in the world right now. A guy we get to see a lot of in Ring of Honor with Violence Unlimited. And Ninja Mac is a dude who, like, just burst on the scene last year, and he's like a stuntman come to life type thing. It's hard to explain. Like, the things that this guy's doing is just next level when it comes to high flying stuff. He missed a Phoenix Splash 630 at one point. I've seen him hit that move before, but he missed it on Tony Deppen, which came, like, that's how the finish came about. Was he misses a Phoenix Splash 630, and then Deppen hits him with a running knee for the 1-2-3. Just awesome, awesome stuff. Ninja Mac, like, you just got to see what he's doing to believe that he's doing it. The way that he's able to just do all these handsprings and flips and stuff, it's really incredible. After that, we had AJ Gray defeating Nolan Edward. This was a banger of a fight right here. I love this type of stuff. AJ Gray got the win after hitting two clotheslines, and usually one clothesline is enough to finish someone. He hit two of them. Nolan kicked out. AJ Gray hit him with basically an Emerald Frozen for the 1-2-3. Just awesome stuff. Two guys that I think would be a massive asset to either, either or any mainstream company, I should say. Nolan Edwards, someone that I know has had interest. There is interest in him on a higher level already, and the guy really only started making a name for himself in the indies within the last like year and a half. So just awesome to see how good Nolan is. And you know, he's really one of these guys who he's really more well-known in like the deathmatch scene, but as seen in matches like this with AJ Gray, he can just go. Like, he doesn't need to be doing death matches if he doesn't want to. Like, him and AJ just have hard-hitting, good matches. AJ, just every time I see him, it's like, he reminds me so much of a guy who's like old-school All-Japan pro wrestling. Just hard-hitting, in-your-face, no-nonsense wrestling. Absolutely love it. His intro and entrance is like one of the best things in wrestling. He comes out to Walk a Flock of Flame, and like the fans all, you know, sing it with him and stuff and rap along and stuff. It's just awesome. And AJ Gray is another one of those guys. I talked about Sup Graps. AJ Gray was one of these guys. Like, if I had to pick a four pillars or like a Mount Rushmore of Southern Underground Pro out of Nashville, AJ Gray would be on that Mount Rushmore for sure. After that, we had Too Cold Scorpio defeating Grim Reefer. This was awesome. Like, during the match, and I called it before the match, I was like, these two guys are definitely going to smoke some weed during this match, and we got that, and I was happy about it. Basically, the finish came when Too Cold Scorpio hit it wasn't the tumbleweed, but it's like the backflip into a leg drop. Like, he goes like an extra rotation past a moonsault and hits a leg drop. It's just awesome to see Too Cold even being able to do this kind of stuff, given his age and how many miles he's got on his body and how long he's just been wrestling. And Grim Reefer is just a lot of fun to watch. I love that he actually sparks up joints in the ring. Like, it's something different. I enjoy it. And after the match was fun too, because Too Cold wins the match and Grim Reefer is still knocked out on the ground. Too Cold sparks a joint up, puts it in Reefer's mouth, and it revives Reefer. And then they're just, you know, the two of them are cool with each other. Just a great match between two guys that, like, honestly, probably over-delivered. Like, you know, Too Cold Scorpio, absolute legend. But every time I see him wrestle, like, he's still having really, really good matches. I'd highly recommend y'all check out any stuff that Too Cold has done with For the Culture, if you've missed any of that. Like, he's been killing it on those shows as well. Moving on, we had the GCW Ultraviolent Championship. Drew Parker defeats Alex Colon to win the title. This was an insane match, to say the least. This is peak deathmatch wrestling as far as I'm concerned. I saw David Bixenspan, who's a guy who I definitely respect his opinion on wrestling. The guy is a wrestling historian to the degree of like very few others. And he was tweeting about how this might have been the best deathmatch he's ever seen on American soil. Because obviously, you know, worldwide, there's been some really, really brutal stuff and some legendary stuff. But, like, within the U.S., this is pretty much as good as it gets as far as deathmatch wrestling. Drew Parker's insane. Alex Colon's insane. I think that goes without me having to say that. The finish came, I believe, the final nail in the coffin in this one was Drew Parker hitting a Swanton bomb onto a bundle of light tubes that were laying on Alex Colon. I think that's what the actual finish wound up being. Because it was literally like, these guys did everything you can think of with like any weapon you can think of, any move you can think of. These guys went out and they put on pretty much the perfect deathmatch style match. You know, I know there was a lot of people that had never watched GCW before that tuned in for this show, mainly because of the buzz surrounding the main event. But what's so great about a show like this is you get this great mixture of like young, hungry, just great wrestling talent. But it's like a real variety show because you also get ultra-violent death matches. You get some stuff that's kind of in between both, like, you know, hardcore wrestling, but not quite fully deathmatch wrestling. And some stuff that's just straight up just great, great in-ring professional wrestling. And you also get just some straight up wrestling as well. I mean, it's like you get a real mixed bag of everything. I think this show appeals to just any type of wrestling fan. Like, sure, there's going to maybe be some stuff you're not as into as other stuff, but like, honestly, if you consider yourself a pro wrestling fan, like, I'm trying to think of how to say this. I don't think I can call you a pro wrestling fan if you watched this whole show and there wasn't one thing that you liked. Like, I get that maybe you didn't like some of the stuff, potentially, but, like, if you watched this whole show and there wasn't one thing that you liked, then I don't know what to tell you. At that point, you are strictly a fan of entertainment. Strictly a fan of entertainment and not a fan of professional wrestling, in my opinion. Moving on, we had a scramble match where Atticus Kogar defeated Jordan Oliver, Braden Lee, Dante Leon, Jack Cartwheel, and Shane Mercer. Just a ton of talent in this one. Jordan Oliver was actually on MLW and GCW at the same time, kind of pulling an old school Rick Rude for, you know, people who remember that, Nitro and Raw at the same time on the same night. Obviously, MLW was pre-taped, and that's how that was possible. Jordan Oliver, one of my favorite wrestlers in the world right now. I'll talk about him a little bit more when we get to JCW, Jersey Championship Wrestling. Braden Lee, straight Brazy, a guy who is a young, high flyer that very well put together, just ton of potential in the world of wrestling. Dante Leon and Jack Cartwheel, both very similar from the sense of high-flying dudes, very innovative. I think Leon is a bit more polished than Cartwheel is, but Cartwheel goes for it. Like, he does crazy stuff, and, like, does he botch sometimes? He does, but when he hits it, it's always really impressive. Then you had Shane Mercer, who is just an animal, an absolute animal, the Iron Demon. He's going up to the ropes and literally flipping with people, like, and slamming them at the same time off the ropes, and I've seen him do stuff in the past where he'll literally get on like the top rope and like a Death Valley driver and like jump like coast to coast into tables and stuff. Like it completely insane. The way he mixes his athleticism and his strength is just so much fun to watch. I highly recommend y'all seek out the match from just a couple weeks ago. Shane Mercer versus Brian Cage. That was a perfect stylistic matchup. And of course your winner, Atticus Kogar. He whipped out the green meat skewers, as he always does. He popped them into Shane Mercer's head. That's always a brutal visual. And Kogar got the win after Jordan Oliver hits... who did he hit with the move? I think he hit Braden Lee. It might have been Shane Mercer after the... I can't remember who he hit with his finisher, but Jordan Oliver hit the clout cutter when Atticus... rolls into the ring, he low blows Jordan, makes the cover based on, like, basically Jordan does the work, Kogar is the one who gets the win. Just slimy, disgusting, despicable heel stuff from Atticus Kogar, which is exactly what you want. After that, we had the GCW Tag Team Championships on the line, and new champions, the SGC, the Second Gear Crew, the team of Matthew Justice and Mance Warner. And this was a big night for SGC. I'm going to talk about Effie in a second. We had AJ Gray on the show as well. So SGC, awesome stuff. They defeat Jimmy Lloyd and G-Raver, who had just won the titles, but they're doing like a frenemies type thing where, you know, Jimmy Lloyd and G-Raver are mortal enemies. If you've been watching them the last couple years, like, they have been doing some of the most brutal, violent, just disturbing stuff to one another in the ring. And that looks like it's going to continue. This was just another little layer in that story. The finish came after, Matthew Justice hit basically what I call a stage dive. I think that's what he calls it too, but it's basically like just a giant splash off the top rope. But this was awesome. They did a whole bunch of cool stuff, blood all over the place. Matthew Justice and Mance Warner got busted open super early. But this was great. This was a good way to continue to progress the story between Jimmy Lloyd and G-Raver while also giving us new champions in Matthew Justice and Mance Warner, and they'll be defending the titles today, which I'll be talking about in the predictions here in a second. After that, we had Effie defeating frontman Ja C. This was good stuff. Effie does what he does, and the way he does it is incredibly entertaining. This is a guy who is very different from most of what you see in wrestling and has just carved out a spot for himself that is just undeniable. And the guy can work his ass off in the ring. He really can. So I love seeing this. Frontman Ja, I love him as well. Like, he's got a ton of potential. And they incorporated a lot of kind of different type of stuff in this one, but it wound up being really, really good. And Effie with the win there, Effie, honestly, is one of the probably the most entertaining overall wrestlers in the world right now, in my opinion. And he's a guy, it's just so badass that this dude can be himself and is doing so well for himself between, all the bookings he gets and his merchandise sales and his Twitch channel and stuff, that he has no need or interest or anything in signing anywhere. He can just keep doing what he's doing. He's killing it right now. So huge shout out to Effie. Got the win over frontman Ja C. And then in the main event, we had Matt Cardona defeat Nick Gage for the GCW World Championship. I cannot believe those words are coming out of my mouth, but Matt Cardona is the GCW World Champion. I can't believe it. This was a great death match. This was a lot of fun. You could tell Cardona was kind of like easing his way into it throughout the match. You could tell by some of his early light tube shots and stuff that he didn't really know how hard to swing and things like that. But by the end of the match, I mean, he was covered in blood. The second I saw Cardona walking out in all white, I was like, that was intentional. Because when you wear all white to a match like this, you know there's going to be a ton of blood, because the visual is so much more effective, right? Then, like, if you went out there wearing all black, it wouldn't look nearly as wild as a dude who looks like he's clearly covered in blood. You know what I mean? So this was awesome. The finish of the match, well, there's a few things from the match that are worth, you know, pointing out, definitely. So outside of the match itself, which I thought was awesome, there was at one point Nick Gage hits the choke breaker onto Cardona, and it looks like that's going to be it. But then Chris Jericho's music hits, Fozzy's Judas hits the speakers, and everyone's going insane. I'm marking out in my living room. Like, I couldn't believe, I was like, there's no way Chris Jericho's at this. No way. And it turned out to be a diversion. Somebody else ran into the ring, like, under a hood and just wound up, getting hit with a DDT or something. But then the actual finish of the match came when 440 runs out to, try to prevent Nick Gage from retaining, but it's all 440 except for RSP. 440, once again, they're like going to attack Nick Gage, but then Ricky Shane Page comes out and hits the ring, and him and Gage start actually fighting off 440. So it looks like RSP and Gage are finally like aligning with one another after this last like 2 years or so, where they were, RSP was the champion and the whole story there, and Gage finally beating him for the belt at Spring Break and all that stuff. And right when you feel comfortable and you're like, okay, RSP and Gage, like, RSP just helped them fight off 440. Gage, basically Cardona was set up in the corner for a face wash with a light tube on him. So like Gage was just going to run, give him the boot in the corner. And right before he could do it, RSP just kicks him in the dick from behind, just a punt to the back of the dick, and just the back of the dick and balls. And Gage goes down. Cardona hits Gage with a couple light tubes, hits him with the Rough Rider or whatever he calls that move now, the jumping leg drop. And Matt Cardona wins the GCW title, which is just unreal. So we're living in a world now, y'all, where Nick Gage loses to Matt Cardona. Nick Gage is going to be wrestling Chris Jericho on AEW Dynamite on TNT in front of millions of viewers. We're going to have Matt Cardona as the GCW World Champion, a guy who's had one death match ever, is now the face of GCW. And there's so much potential there that they can do with him for stories and stuff. And Then you still got the John Moxley thing looming there, where Moxley and Gage have been building stuff. So will it be Moxley and Gage at Game Changer Wrestling, or is it going to be Moxley and Gage in AEW? Could that be at All Out, potentially, Moxley versus Gage? I think so. I think it's a definite possibility. The Forbidden Door is kicked wide open right now, and this is an amazing time to be a professional wrestling fan. So, once again, Matt Cardona, your new GCW World Heavyweight Champion. And speaking of Game Changer Wrestling, I'm going to give you my predictions right now for night two of Homecoming. That's going to be happening just a few hours after I record this show. And these are my predictions for the matches. We recently found out that Drew Parker versus Jimmy Lloyd is going to be added to this show. I'm going to take Drew Parker for the win because, I mean, unless they do something where, like, he's so beat up from last night that, like, it's easier for Jimmy Lloyd to win. But after seeing what Drew Parker did with Alice Colon, I feel like Drew Parker just, he's not losing to anyone anytime soon in GCW, in my opinion. We got Joey Janela versus Atticus Kogar. I'm going to say Atticus gets the win. I think Joey will probably be beating him up for most of the match, and then something will happen, like 440 will help or something, but Atticus will find a very slimy way to get the win, and he'll probably pop some green meat skewers into Janela's forehead at some point in the match. We got Jonathan Gresham versus Starboy Charlie. This match is going to be awesome. Jonathan Gresham, in my opinion, one of the best tactical wrestlers in the whole world, the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, huge fan of Jonathan Gresham, and I've talked about Starboy a little bit, 18 years old, and just the future is super bright for that kid. I'm going to take Gresham for the win in this one. I think this will be a really good technical match, but I think Gresham's just going to be a little too much for Starboy, just a little too seasoned, a little bit too much experience, just another learning experience for Starboy Charlie. After that, we got Ruckus taking on Calvin Tankman. Love this matchup. Never thought I'd be seeing this one in GCW, but I got to go Calvin Tankman. I just think, I mean, you know, he's doing his thing in MLW, but I think Calvin Tankman is just money for a mainstream company. Like, I don't know how long his contract is with MLW or if he's under, like, an actual contract or what the status there is, but I love seeing him in you know, GCW. I love seeing him doing stuff with Paradigm still, doing, like, the UWFI rules type stuff. Calvin Tankman is just an amazing hybrid of a guy who is strong as hell. He's agile as hell. He can do anything you can imagine in that ring, and it always looks believable, and he keeps improving. Like, he keeps getting better and better every time I see him. So I got to roll with Calvin Tankman. We got Chris Dickinson taking on Cesar Bononi. This one will be really interesting because we know what to expect out of Dickinson. He's going to come out and just beat ass, right? I mean, that guy, that's what he does. He's an ass kicker. Cesar Bononi, I know mainly from his kind of random appearances on NXT over the years, and more recently he's been a part of the Wingmen stable with AEW, and he's showing some potential. I mean, he's a big, good-looking dude, right? But Chris Dickinson, that's one of the main faces of GCW, one of the main faces of Beyond Wrestling, obviously one half of the tag team champions right now in Ring of Honor. I got a roll with the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson. We got Jordan Oliver taking on Jack Cartwheel. This is probably going to be insane. As long as Jack Cartwheel doesn't botch, like, as often as he has been lately, and I hate to keep bringing that up, but he had a match with Ninja Mac a couple weeks ago at GCW versus Loco that was, like, a real letdown for me, and I feel like he's still trying to kind of regain the momentum he had before that right now. But the best guy to do that against is probably a guy like Jordan Oliver, because Oliver is going to make you look like $1 million. So I think it's going to be a really good match. I think there's a lot invested into Jordan Oliver in the GCW world, and I think the smart move would be to have Jordan Oliver defeat Jack Cartwheel, probably get the one with the clout cutter, but there should be really, really cool stuff in this match. I think there's going to be some innovation. Jordan Oliver, every time that I talk to somebody that knows him, they always say he is just a sponge for pro wrestling. He's constantly just asking to have longer matches and just wants to learn and learn and learn, and when he's not wrestling, he's watching wrestling. Doesn't matter what the era is, what the company is. Jordan Oliver is a true student of the game, and I got to go with Big Breakfast Jordan Oliver to get the win over Jack Cartwheel. Got the Second Gear Crew, the team of Mance Warner and Matthew Bishop, the new tag team champions, taking on the team of Ninja Mac and Dante Leon. In my opinion, this will probably be the best match of the night. Like, this is the one that I have circled as far as, like, this could be really something. It really could. Dante Leon and Ninja Mac, I've already talked about. Two of the best young high flyers in the entire world of wrestling right now. SGC, two of my favorite guys. I mean, Mance Warner, I've been watching for years. Matthew Justice is a dude who I've been talking about forever. Is like tippy top of the indie totem pole, like ready to break out in any major company. And we've been seeing him on AEW Dark lately. But I got to go. Second Gear Crew, SGC, the new champions to retain over Mac and Dante, which once again, I'm calling right now, I think will be the match of the night. And the only other match that I have confirmed here is Alley Catch taking on Penelope Ford. This should be a lot of fun. Very interesting matchup because Alley Catch, she can get super hardcore. Alley Catch, the former Alley Cat, who is also known as the heart and soul of Southern Underground Pro. I've talked about them a lot today, but a lot of SUP alumni and current performers all over the place of indie wrestling and in GCW in particular right now. But Alley Catch and Penelope, of course, we know Penelope from AEW. Those of us who knew her pre-AEW knew her mainly as Joey Janela's valet. She wrestled a little bit back then, but she's improved drastically. Obviously, she's on the show with Kip Sabian nowadays and showing a lot of potential. But I got to go with Alley Catch for the win in that one. So those are my predictions for Game Changer Wrestling. And I mean, GCW, they are absolutely killing it right now. I cannot say enough good things about them. Moving on, we have Jersey Championship Wrestling. A lot of overlap, some names you've already heard today, but I'm going to give you the results for their show. This happened on YouTube, and it's for free, so check it out. Can't recommend it enough. Awesome stuff. We had a six-way scramble match. Yo-Yo over Donnie Janela, Devin Monroe, Frightmare, Trey Lamar, and Too Hot, Steve Scott. We had Cole Radrick over Matt Mikowski. Young, Dumb, and Broke, the team of Charlie Tiger, Ellis Taylor, and Griffin McCoy, over the team of Steve Sanders, Marcus Mathers, and Dylan McKay. We had Frontman Jaw over Ken Broadway, J.J. Garrett over Braden Lee, Jordan Oliver over Arcadia. Two-on-one handicap match, we had Joshua Bishop over Hunter Drake and Billy Danvers. In the main event, we had the team of Charles Mason, Bam Sullivan, and Slade, who were both under hoods as the Goons, and they revealed themselves after the match, defeating the team of Ricky Shane Page, Billy Starks, and Everett Connors. I've already mentioned a lot of people that are on this show, but a few others that I haven't talked about yet. Yo-Yo, ton of potential. Smaller guy, but very, very, very technically sound. A guy that I have heard there is interest for on the higher levels already, and a guy that I think would really really fit in well anywhere because he is so small in stature, but he's really, really, really technically sound. And I think he can have a lot of really interesting matches with a lot of people. Devin Monroe, a dude who really been seeing breaking out the last couple years. I mean, on every type of show, but Devin Monroe gets over with every crowd. Trey Lamar, I mean, he's one of those guys I'm always talking about where, like when Blake Christian, Alex Zane, Anthony Henry, all those types of dudes got, Ben Carter, all those guys got like signed away to the WWE. I really felt, or still feel like Trey Lamar is like one of the guys kind of filling that gap. Like it's going to take him a little bit of time, but he's getting there. And we've already seen him do a little bit with Impact Wrestling. I think that was like last year during the X Division Cup. So a lot of eyes on Trey Lamar, a lot of talent there. And he's got a super bright future. Cole Radrick and Matt Mikowski, both guys that I think the world of. Like, Cole Radrick from Bell to Bell might be my favorite wrestler right now, like, and I do not say that lightly. I'm a huge Cole Radrick fan. The improvement that I've seen out of him since the first time I saw him probably like 4 or 5 years ago to now is night and day. This kid is incredibly talented, and he's a very unassuming-looking guy. You see him and you go, huh, I don't really think much of what I'm seeing here. And then the bell rings, and it's like, oh, damn, yes, incredible, love it. Huge Cole Radrick fan. Matt Mikowski does a great job of mixing in his MMA style with the pro wrestling of 2021. A ton of potential there. A guy that I compare a lot to Daniel Garcia in the best ways possible. I think Matt Mikowski and Daniel Garcia are kind of like the next wave of the MMA style kind of almost technical, pure rules type dudes in the game right now. Shout out to Dylan McKay, who hit just an insane, I don't even know what to call it. It was like a spinning 630 or something through like a table or something. Like, he did something crazy during at the end of that match. Shout out to Marcus Mathers, who's a young kid that I know mainly from H2O, and just super bright future for him. Already really talented. Him and Billy Starks, the most wholesome thing I think you'll see in all of wrestling Twitter. Who else do we have on here that I haven't talked about? JJ Garrett. JJ Garrett. I talk about him always. Whenever I talk about him, I always bring up like he's a mixture of like AC Slater and Scott Steiner. Even he calls himself Thought Steiner on Twitter. But I'm a huge fan. He has a beautiful frog splash. He does just really, really crisp, power bombs and suplexes and stuff. He's done a little bit on AEW Dark as well. I think JJ Garrett's going to be a massive star in the world of wrestling. And speaking of massive stars, Joshua Bishop. He was on this show. Hunter Drake, shout out to him too. I see him as a part of Talladega Nights in New South, a company I talked about earlier. But Josh Bishop is the future of wrestling. I've been talking about him for years. I literally probably saw his first match ever years ago. And if it wasn't his first match, it was the same kind of thing as like with Everett Connors. It had to have been within his first few. I might have been the first person to ever interview him on a podcast too. Like, and this isn't to toot my own horn. This is just to say, like, I saw so much potential in Josh Bishop super early. I feel like I'm a real day one Joshua Bishop fan. And this dude is putting it all together right now. He's the AIW champion. He is one of the more believable dudes you're ever going to see doing this. I mean, he looks like $1 million. He's still only like 22 years old or something. Like he won't even hit his prime for another handful of years probably. And he's already this damn good. I think, I do not say this lightly, I think it's totally possible that one day Joshua Bishop is the biggest star in all professional wrestling. And the things that he did in this match with Hunter Drake and Billy Danvers can only be seen to be believed. I just watched the match. He hits this powerbomb on Hunter Drake onto these two chairs that are sitting upright. That's just, I don't know how he didn't break this dude's back. He did a outsider's edge through a table that someone else I can't remember who he picked up and who was on the table. But he powerbombs either Drake or Danvers into the other on a table. One dude bounces off the table. The other one literally just goes through the table. Like, the table doesn't, like, break like normal, like, through the middle. He just goes through, like he, like, creates a hole in the table. He just goes through the actual table. Because when the table flipped over, it turned out it was, like, one of those, like, real reinforced tables. And this dude just went through it. Like, he didn't break it. He went through it. Like, Joshua Bishop is the man. And then also, shout out to Billy Starks. I mentioned her just a minute ago, being part of the most wholesome stuff I see on wrestling Twitter, her and Marcus Mathers. But Billy Starks, incredible wrestler in her own right, and, you know, couldn't have better people around her. You know, shout out to Mouse, her dad, Robert Bellamy, the best photographer in the world of wrestling, in my opinion. And he's getting a lot of love today because he got a lot of great shots of that Matt Cardona and Nick Gage match. You know, he was right there at GCW. So shout out to that whole family and, shout out to everybody involved in this show. JCW, Dear Summer, I mean, go watch it. YouTube, it's completely free. Moving on, we have results for NXT UK. Show started off with Nina Samuels defeating Laura DiMatteo. Got the win with what I kind of call like a shoulder break or go to sleep. I don't know what she calls it, but she basically puts someone up on her shoulder and then spins them around into a knee to the face. But solid stuff. This was clearly just, you know, DiMatteo's been jobbing week after week. That's kind of her role right now on the show. And Samuels is getting a strong push, so this all made total sense. After that, we had Joseph Connors over a guy that I think was called Archer or something like that. I didn't really catch his name. Well, I heard them saying his name, but I couldn't tell if I was hearing them pronouncing it correctly or not. But it was a squash match. It was just, that's all it was. But Joseph Connors gets the win with his finisher, the Hierarchy, for the 1-2-3, which is basically, it's like a arm trap, hangman's neck breaker, kind of rude awakening type thing. But him and Ginny, of course, they're just building them more and more, which is totally fine. They actually did the Supernova sessions before the match, and Ginny talking a lot about, a lot of people were asking, you know, why or what's her and Joseph's arrangement? Is it professional, personal? And, you know, it definitely seems more on the personal side, but it's mutually beneficial for each. And the main event of the show, we had Pretty Deadly retain the tag team titles over Subculture in a really damn good tag team match. This was definitely the best match that I've seen from Pretty Deadly. They got the win with the Spilt Milk, which is basically a heart attack neck breaker for the 1-2-3. I'm seeing it now. Like I said last week or the week before that I was still like a little lukewarm on Pretty Deadly. Not anymore. I totally get it. This match was awesome. Subculture is an awesome tag team that I feel like is unfortunately kind of hidden away in NXT UK, but they could be a massive tag team. I mean, their movesets are incredible. I've been saying that for years. Like I remember them winning the titles a couple years ago in that multi-team match, and I was marking out big time for their win. But Pretty Deadly is like, they're really this mixture of like Edge and Christian along with kind of like almost like Shawn Michaels wannabes, along with kind of like the Fashion Police to a degree. If I had to kind of mash that all together, that's kind of what Pretty Deadly is to me. But like I said, I can't say it enough. This was the best match I've seen them in. This was really great. They do a lot of really good double team moves where like one member of Pretty Deadly will like launch the opponent towards another member, and they have this kind of a cool move set based on like throwing opponents or launching them in kind of unique ways into moves and stuff. This was great. Like the finish was, I mentioned Spilt Milk, but right before that, Flash Morgan Webster went for a flip to the outside, and Pretty Deadly wound up catching him and like literally throwing him over the barricade and stuff. But I'd highly recommend this match. If for no other reason this week, definitely watch this tag team match. This was honestly one of the best matches of the entire week, and I watched a lot of great wrestling this week, but this one did stand out. So kudos to Pretty Deadly and Subculture for a hell of a match. And also, big shout out to Pretty Deadly. Like, I say this all the time, my mind can be changed. Like, if there's someone or a team or whatever that I see and I don't really quite get it or whatever, I'll multiple tries, and just stick with it. And sometimes I never come around, sometimes I do. Pretty Deadly, I'm coming around on. They are a very, very solid team. Moving on, we have NXT 205 Live results. And not a whole lot to talk about here from this show. We had two matches. First one was Asher Hale getting the win back from Guru Raj. They had a match last week that Guru won with a backslide pin, a pretty shocking win over Asher Hale. I talked a lot last week about how I thought that was the wrong decision. They need to get Asher Hale back on track because technically speaking, I think he's probably the best technical worker on 205 Live, and he's one of the best guys in the entire world, in my opinion, if given the right story and the right push, because his in-ring work is just so crisp and just so believable. But Anthony Henry, or the former Anthony Henry, Asher Hale, winds up getting the win with a what I'd call a leg trap brainbuster, but it was really good. I mean, it looked like he killed him with that thing. And Asher Hale back on track, gets the win back from Guru. I'd imagine they'll probably run back a rubber match next week on 205 Live. And if they do, I'm all for it. Like, Guru Raj is solid. I just don't think he's on the same level as Asher Hale, but he could get there. Really good match. And the main event, another really, really good match. Jake Atlas defeats Ari Sterling, gets the win with the Over the Rainbow DDT, which is the cartwheel DDT on the ropes. And yeah, I mean, both these guys are just super talented and still have just a ton of untapped potential. Ari Sterling has basically been the face of 205 Live the last few months, and I was kind of surprised to see him lose to Jake Atlas. But Jake Atlas is a dude who, gets used on, NXT on Tuesdays and stuff, and he's very, very good in the ring in his own right. I just think Sterling is just a very unique talent. Like, Sterling is hitting, like Dragon Rana's on guys off the turnbuckles, and like, I mean, some of the springboards he does, like off the ropes to the outside and stuff, just stuff no one else is like really doing. And Jake Atlas is very innovative in his own right. I mean, the Over the Rainbow DDT, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that but him. These guys can do it all. It just really, really damn good match. I have no issue with Jake Atlas getting this win. Like I keep saying, he's very good also. But we've been seeing more of Ari on 205 Live, and they've been building him really well. So this will, you know, this will halt that a little bit. But if he comes back in next week, especially if they run this match back and he beats Jake Atlas, it'll be similar to this, the situation with Asher Hale and Guru Raj, which, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with either. So, you know, two really good matches for 205 Live. You know, if you got a solid, you know, half hour or so for free, that's free. Because what I do to watch the show, just full disclosure, is I go on Hulu and, you know, you can watch the first match and then they usually have like a big segment from like Raw or something that they'll air in the middle. And then it'll be the second match. So if you just go on there and watch the first and second match and cut out whatever they show from Raw or whatever other WWE show they put on there, it's about a solid half hour of just really, really good wrestling. So highly recommended. 205 Live, two really good matches this week. Moving on, we have Ring of Honor results. Show starts off with Ray Horace getting the win over Fred Yehi with a body scissor driver off the top rope. Really solid match. You know, Freddie Ahai, for my money, is one of the best pure wrestlers in the world, and he has been for years, but he's really starting to break out now with Ring of Honor. And Ray Horace, you know, this is good to see considering he just got the win over Flamita at the pay-per-view on the pre-show, so Horace's trajectory continues to go up. They just got to figure out what to do with Freddie Ahai, but it also doesn't really hurt him too much because this wasn't really like a pure rules match. At least I don't think it was. I watched it earlier this week, but it was. I don't think this was actually contested under pure rules. So if they ran this back and it was under pure rules and Freddie Ahai got the win, then, you know, all is kind of back to where it would be. I don't know how to say it. I don't know if I'm articulating that the best way, but my point is push Freddie Ahai. Dude's incredibly talented and he's perfect for that pure division, but I also see the reasoning for having Ray Horace win this match. After that, we had Mandy Leon over Quinn McKay. Got the win after Angelina Love, who was on the outside with Leon, throws her some brass knuckles. Mandy hits Quinn in the head with them while Quinn is trying to give her like a backdrop. She lands right on top of her, 1, 2, 3. After that, we had Shane Taylor Promotions in the main event, getting the win over the Foundation and Joe Keys. So the members of the Foundation, it was Lethal, Titus, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, along with Joe Keys. And Shane Taylor Promotions was all four. You had Shane Taylor, O'Shea Edwards, and the Soldiers of Savagery. And yeah, this was really damn good. I really, really enjoyed this match. And I love seeing that O'Shea Edwards is the one to get the win for his team. And he basically hits a sky high, D'Lo Brown style, hits a sky high on Joe Keys to get the 1, 2, 3. When I saw this match announced and I saw the participants and I saw Joe Keys with the Foundation, I was immediately like, okay, I think Joe Keys probably takes the L here. And then I looked at the Foundation or at the Shane Taylor Promotions and I was like, and I hope O'Shea Edwards gets that pin, like, cause he could really use it. Cause the Soldiers of Savagery and Shane Taylor are the 6-man champions. But O'Shea Edwards is kind of like the prospect of the group that isn't, you know, they're still trying to kind of build him. But I've seen O'Shea for years. I've talked about Sup a lot on this show, but he's another one of those Sup guys from Nashville, where I've seen most of his work. But I know he's, you know, he's a guy from up north, and he did the Ring of Honor dojo and all that stuff last year, or possibly even the year before. So it's been a long time coming now for O'Shea Edwards to get some shine like this, and I'm really happy to see it. So, you know, good episode of Ring of Honor, you know. I'd say the Horace and Yeha match was really solid. The main event was really, really, really good. Like, a highly recommended match to check out. Up next, we have results for The Gathering 2. Just going to roll through these. I haven't had a chance to watch this show, but there was some National Wrestling Alliance presence on it. So that's why I'm doing the results right now for it. But these are the results. We had Mike Jackson over Antonio Alonso. Lodi over Dustin Bosworth. Lodi's still doing it. That guy's actually in like the best shape of his life. I've seen him on social media lately. For those of you who remember Lodi from WCW, he was like the dude in Raven's Flock who would carry the signs in the crowd and stuff. We had Colby Carino over John Skyler. And side note, Colby Carino is building up for a match against his dad, Steve Carino, soon, which is like mind-blowing. We're going to see that in 2021. Colby Carino versus Steve Carino. I remember Colby Carino being on the show when he was younger on like Ring of Honor as like a child. it's similar to like the Dominic Mysterio thing now, where like you see them as adults and it's like still kind of screws with your head a little bit that you're this old already to remember these things. After that, we had Samantha Starr over Chalance Royal. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but Chalance Royal. We had The Revolt, the team of Caleb Conley and Zane Riley, over the team of Overkill, which was Christian Rose and Matt Cage. We had Sam Houston over Mitch Hurley. The NWA Women's Championship on the line, Camille retaining and defending the title over Kenzie Page. We had Mr. Hughes over Bam Bam Bundy. In the main event of the show, we had the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, retaining the title by defeating Trevor Murdoch. All right, so those are all the non-spoilers for the show. What I'm going to do right now, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, I'm going to go through all the spoilers that I've got for Impact Wrestling. I'm going to go through all the spoilers I got for NXT, and we're going to get on out of here. So if you don't want any other spoilers, now's the time to tune out. I appreciate y'all listening. For those of you who want to listen to this, I've warned you, all right? So part of these spoilers have already happened on Impact Wrestling at this point, and that's the reason, normally for newer listeners, just so you know, I normally do recaps of each Impact episode, and we watch them live on Twitch. Check it out, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Myself and Joel Pearl are always on there watching live with you guys. It's always a ton of fun, so please join us over there. Once again, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming every Thursday night for Impact Wrestling. But because I'm going to be reading these spoilers anyways, some of them are going to overlap with this past week's show. It just didn't feel like it made any sense to double dip that. So here's the spoilers, all right? Impact taping results. These were taped on 7/18, and then I'm going to give you the 7/19 afterwards. And these are all courtesy of Fightful.com. We had Chris Bay over Rohit Raju. Decay, the team of Rosemary and Havoc, retaining the tag team titles over Fire and Flava, Tasha Steelz and Kiera Hogan. And also worth mentioning that one of the two is no longer with Impact Wrestling. So, you know, not surprising that Fire and Flava lost there. You know, obviously considering that Kiera Hogan is leaving the company. But it'll be interesting to see their future. What happens with Steelz going forward in Impact? What happens with Kiera Hogan outside of Impact Wrestling? After that, we had more spoilers. So we got Finn Juice, the team of Dave Finley and Juice Robinson, over Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. Rohit Raju and Shira attack Finn Juice after the match. We had Jay White come out, cut a promo, says he came to Impact for Dave Finley and all that stuff. We had Chelsea Green, Matt Cardona, and Jake Something over Tennille Dashwood, Sam Beal, and Brian Myers. Taylor Wilde attacked Dashwood and Caleb after the match. Deonna Purrazzo accepts Mickey James' invitation to compete at NWA Empower. And I don't know where it'll show it on here or if it does, but I do know that that's going to be Melina versus Deonna Purrazzo. We had Rich Swann and Willie Mack over Violent by Design, the team of Rhino and Diener. Jordan Grace and Rachel Ellering over Fire and Flava. So that's probably their last match, unless like there's more throughout the... actually, here it comes. Savannah Evans attacks Kiera Hogan after the match, and then Tasha Steelz stands over Kiera Hogan, indicating the end of Fire and Flava. So that's the send-off. That all makes sense. After that, we got the Good Brothers, Doc Olives and Carl Anderson over the team of Jay White and Chris Bay. Dave Finley, Juice Robinson, and Fall of Baugh, and No Way Jose over the team of Ace Austin, Madman Fulton, Rohit Raju, and Shira. Based on what I'm seeing so far, y'all, I'm not liking seeing all these L's for Ace Austin, not gonna lie. Don Callis announces a number one contenders battle royal for Impact Emergence. The winner's gonna face Kenny Omega for the Impact Championship. Sammy Callahan says he's going to win the Battle Royal, and Frank Kazarian comes out and attacks Omega and the Good Brothers. So the Elite Hunter from AEW jumping over to Impact to continue that whole feud. So very interesting. Kiera Hogan calls out Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. Soo Young and Kimberly come out and attacked Hogan and then dragged her away. So maybe that's the send-off. I feel like I keep seeing the send-off over and over on these spoilers. Sami Callihan, Eddie Edwards, and Frankie Kazarian defeat Kenny Omega, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson. W. Morrissey attacks Eddie Edwards after the match, and Edwards challenges Morrissey to fight him in the parking lot. And then they wind up fighting in the parking lot, and Morrissey runs away. We have Impact Homecoming taping results right here for you. Josh Alexander retains the X Division Championship over Black Taurus. There is a homecoming tournament, the first round, Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King, formerly known as Aiden English, who does in fact make his debut after the teases on these little vignettes we've been getting. They defeat Alicia Edwards and Hernandez. Then in that same tournament, we have Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona defeating Petey Williams and Jordan Grace. We have Steve Macklin attacks Petey Williams after the match. Then in another first round match in the same tournament, we have Tommy Dreamer and Rachel Ellring defeating Brian Myers and Missy Hyatt. That's wild to see Missy Hyatt involved. Impact Wrestling 2021. We have Decay, the team of Crazy Steve and Rosemary, over Fire and Flava to advance. Or sorry, Fala Flava. Jeez, that's going to be hard to say. Fala Flava, which is Fala Bond, Tasha Steeles. So Decay, continues on in the tournament. And it says before the tapings, we had Trey Miguel and Petey Williams go to a double countout, and Steve Macklin attacked Trey Miguel, and Petey Williams saved him. So that's why Macklin attacked Petey during the show. So that all makes sense. More spoilers. These were taped on the 19th, and these continue more Impact tapings as well as more Homecoming tapings. So as far as the Impact tapings, we have Eddie Edwards over W. Morrissey in a hardcore match. Really don't love seeing that result. We had Jake Something over Daivari, Rohit Raju, and Trey Miguel. Chris Bay over Juice Robinson. And then it says Chris Bay joins Bullet Club, which that's some big news right there. That's huge for Chris Bay, huge for Bullet Club. He needs something going on. Like, Chris Bay is too talented to just be treading water the way he has been. And like, this is something big. I love seeing that. And the merchandise is going to be sick. I'll definitely get a Chris Bay Bullet Club shirt. We had Taylor Wilde over Caleb with a K. Moose over Chris Sabin, which is what should have happened on the pay-per-view, if we're being honest. I see some 50-50 booking here that I don't necessarily love. Because, Morrissey over Edwards, that's how it should have been. Moose over Sabin. I like seeing this, but Sabin should have never beat Moose at the pay-per-view to begin with. Tennille Dashwood over Taylor Wilde. When Madison Rain interferes, Steve Macklin beats Joss C, and then Petey Williams makes the save. Josh Alexander over Daivari. Finjuice over Chris Bay and Jay White by disqualification. John Skyler over Matt Cardona when Rohit Raju and Shira cause a distraction. Wow, that's wild. New GCW champion. Obviously, this was taped ahead of time, but that's going to be kind of wild to see now in hindsight. Deonna Purrazzo and Drama King cut a promo, and then Mickey James announces Melina as Purrazzo's opponent at Empower. So there you go. Brian Myers wins a battle royal to earn a shot at the Impact title at Emergence. So Brian Myers, I'm glad that with all this stuff going on with Cardona and even Smart Mark Sterling, Myers still has something pretty big going on where he's at. So I do like that a lot. I'm a big fan of Brian Myers. Not just as a talent, by the way, like what he's done as a trainer and like the talent he's developed that's like really blowing up now all over the place. Like, Myers deserves a lot of credit for a lot of great stuff happening in wrestling right now, and of course also in the world of action figure collecting. So here are the rest of the homecoming results. We have Deonna Purrazzo and Drama King advance to the finals by defeating Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. We have Decay, the team of Crazy Steve and Rosemary, defeating Tommy Dreamer and Rachel Ellring to advance to the finals. We have Diener over Willie Mack after an Eric Young interference. They got to figure something to do with Willie Mack. I know I sound like a broken record, but this guy has just been used for far too long at this point as just a guy who just doesn't really matter on the show, and he really should be a big deal. Love Diener, though. Love Bound by Design. Like, nothing against them, but man, they got to figure out what to do with Willie Mack. Unless he's leaving the company or something, which I just don't know. The finals of the homecoming tournament, Deonna Purrazzo and Drama King defeat Decay to win the whole thing. And then some spoilers from before the tapings. We have Sam Adonis over Josa. We have Petey Williams and Trey Miguel over Cal Hero and Shotgun Tony Gunn. Crazy Steve over Fala Ba. and Fallabaugh had No Way Jose with him. So those are all the spoilers for Impact Wrestling. Now I'm going to give you all the spoilers for NXT. I don't generally cover NXT on this show. Obviously, I normally cover NXT UK and 205 Live, but it has been a thing that I was doing pre-pandemic, giving all the spoilers for NXT, so I'm going to continue to do it post-pandemic, unless like told differently. So here are all the spoilers for NXT. If you don't want spoilers for NXT, turn it off right now. But here they are. You've been warned. So we have spoilers for the 27th. They were taped on the 21st. These are all, of course, spoilers courtesy of Fightful.com. And there's also credit to Jay Reddick here for the spoilers. We have Oney Lorcan and Pete Dunne over Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. We have the return of Ridge Holland. Yeah, he'd been out for a while, and they were really starting to push him strong before he left, so that's a big return right there. William Regal signs the paperwork to make the match between Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross official for TakeOver 36. Also, I didn't mention it earlier. I think I talked about it on the weekend or last week, but it was official on NXT UK this week that we're going to get Walter and Dragunov 2 at NXT TakeOver 36, so that's going to be awesome. In the NXT Breakout Tournament, we have Carmelo Hayes, the former Casanova, Christian Casanova, defeating Josh Briggs. Dakota Kai turns on Raquel Gonzalez. Wow. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter over Frankie Monet and Jesse Kamea. Imperium defeats Hit Row. Legado del Fantasma attack Hit Row after the match. Adam Cole defeats Bronson Reed. And Kyle O'Reilly defeats Adam Cole. We have spoilers for the 8th of August that were taped on the 21st as well. We got Indy Hartwell gets a gift from Dexter Lumis, sets up a match between Gargano and Lumis for later in the tapings. Ridge Holland over Ikemenjiro. Pete Dunne cuts a promo on Thatcher and Ciampa. Roderick Strong over Bobby Fish. And the Grizzled Young Veterans defeat LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, because LA Knight walks out on Grimes during the match. Ted DiBiase consoles Grimes, it says here. NXT Breakout Tournament, Trey Baxter defeats Joe Gacy. Hit Row defeats Legado del Fantasma by DQ. Karrion Kross cuts a promo, and then Samoa Joe comes out and Kross runs away, I guess. Johnny Gargano over Dexter Lumis. Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis make out and leave. Okay. There you go. That must have happened right after the Gargano match. We have a pre-tape segment, or a retape segment, it says, retaped between Kross and Joe, so it must not have gone well the first time they redid it. And it looks like at the tapings, they also did some, there's some spoilers for 205 Live for the next couple weeks also. For the 30th, we have Drake Maverick over Asher Hale, and we have Leon Ruff over Grayson Waller. For the 6th, it looks like the only thing that they taped or that we have results for, Kushida over Ari Sterling. I'm assuming that was for the Cruiserweight Championship. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to give a thumbs up on this video or like this video, whatever you can do right here on FightfulSelect.com. Just hit that like button. Really appreciate that. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.